But people can tend to take the gifts and manipulate them to make themselves like feel awesome or to be like, oh, I have the gift of prophecy. I'm awesome. You know, like that's just, I went to ministry school and everybody was kind of like that. And so I think today my goal is that we would see the gifts as a way that we can draw near to the Holy Spirit and draw near to the heart of the Father, and that you would have like this conviction inside of you today when you leave. Maybe this is a really big, scary, dangerous prayer, but that you would ask the Lord that you would become more dependent on Him. We live, especially in our American culture, we live in this very independent, like I can do everything myself, I don't need anybody. We're very isolated in a lot of ways. Like we're connected through social media, but we're very, like think about social media, everybody is like, my life is awesome because I'm awesome, and we're very much about ourselves, right? And so a few months ago, I thought I was awesome and spiritual, and yesterday it kind of kicked me in the butt. But I prayed this prayer, the Holy Spirit laid it on my heart, and He said, Jen, like you tend to do everything in your own strength. You do everything by yourself and for yourself. And yes, you love me and you do all these things for me, but you make sure that everything that you say yes to, that you're capable in yourself of doing it. And so I want to stretch you and I want you to become more dependent on me. Like if I don't show up in a situation, I want it to be so desperate and so dependent on me that if I don't show up, everything will crumble and it will just be the worst day of your life. Like nothing will go right. And I was like, oh yeah, Jesus, that sounds wonderful because I love you. And it's not awesome. And so, because God answers those prayers and it's not fun, but it's good. It's good for my heart. So I prayed that a couple months ago and it totally kicked me in the pants yesterday. So there was this conference called Voice of the Martyrs. Did you guys hear about it? None of you came. Mackenzie did. That's what's up. Yeah, proud of you. So I was in charge of it, and so I was like the church rep for it and all of that. And so leading up to it, we had all these meetings, and we have all of this, like we're emailing back and forth. This has been like months in the works, okay? And so like 2 weeks ago, all the things that they told me in the original meeting that they didn't need, 2 weeks ago, they're like, oh, by the way, we need all of this, and we haven't heard about it yet. Like, are you on that? And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I'm just, like, panicking, like, oh, my gosh, I didn't do my job. And then I'm, like, going back through all my notes. I'm like, no, they specifically told me they didn't need any of it. So it just, like, blew up in my face. So I've been, like, panicking about this thing for a while now. And then Friday night we came and we set up. And they're asking me all these questions that I just don't know the answer to. And I just felt so small. And everybody was like significantly older than me. And so, you know, that don't let people look down on you because you're young. That's a cute phrase, but it's really hard to do because you just feel so inadequate, right? You guys are probably there with me. You're high schoolers. You get it. So you guys are capable of more than what people give you credit for. That's my 2 cents on that. That was for free. So I get there, and so Friday night I leave, and I'm like, I think it's gonna go okay. Like, I feel a little nervous, but it's gonna be okay. I didn't sleep at all. I just like had this like thought rolling around in my mind of like all of the things that could possibly go wrong, and they did. And so yesterday morning, I wake up, and I'm just, you know, you just like wake up just having this dread that like whatever you have to do that day is awful. And in my mind, I'm like, well, my throat kind of hurts. And Hannah has strep, so maybe I have strep. And I'm like, you know, trying to make all these excuses why to not show up. And I was like, I have to go. There's literally nobody else that can go. So I get here, and like right out of the gate, everything went wrong. And they told me that they're going to have like 500 or 600 people. And they're like, actually, we have over 900 registered. We're good for that, right? And I was like, oh, I think so. So I'm like trying to keep it cool. And then they're like just bombarding me with all these questions. And then I had been taking volunteer this all has a point, I promise. So we're taking these volunteer signups and all of that. And so and I had like a group of them. 3 of them showed up out of like my 10 or 15 that told me they're gonna be here. 3 showed up. So then I have like the Voice of the Martyrs guy being like, well, do we have a volunteer for this, this, and this? And he's like asking me all these questions. I was like, oh, we did. And so like nobody's doing parking, like everything. And then like the people that are coming are getting upset because the volunteers that were supposed to be in certain posts weren't there. So the things were like falling apart. So I had to go back across the bridge to grab like coffee or something like that. And I'm going over there and I can just like, have you ever been so overwhelmed and so stressed out that there's just like this tight feeling in your chest and all you want to do is curl up in a ball and cry and never see the light of day again? That was my morning. So I'm like walking across the bridge. I'm like, just keep it together, Jen, just keep it together. And so finally I like get to like the middle school area. And I was like, I just can't do it anymore. So I go, I like hide in the bathroom where I know nobody's gonna find me. And I just lose it, like just lost it. I'm like hyperventilating. I'm like, oh, everything's going wrong, like just freaking out. And so I'm crying. It's not like a cute cry, like mascara's like all down my face. And I'm like, I have to see these people in a few minutes. Like they're gonna know I'm crying. And then I look like this child that can't keep it together. So what do? I call my mom. And so I'm like on the phone with her and I'm like, Mom, it's awful. And I can't even like get words out because I'm crying so hard. And then I got like nervous that somebody was coming. So I like hide in the stall, like they can't hear me and they totally can. And nobody actually came in. So I'm like crying hysterically. And God bless my mother. But she, you know how some moms are like, oh, it's going to be okay. And they're just really comforting. My mom just got like, she wants to fix it. You know, like that's just who she is. So I'm on the phone. And she's like, Jennifer, I can't understand you right now. I need you to calm down and tell me because I can't do anything for you if you keep acting this way. Like, that's not what I want to hear, Mom. So she's like, you just need to stop and tell me what's going on. I'm like, so I like can barely get the words out. And so I finally do. And I'm like, I don't know. I just really want you here. I should be an adult. I'm not. And so I still want my mom. It's, oh my gosh, I'm really struggling with this. So I still want my mom. So I call and she like can't do anything for me. My parents are looking for a house. And so they're like way out in the middle of nowhere looking at some barn. And so, because they have horses, you know. And so then I was like, I don't know what else to do. So I called my roommate, Shayna, Ariel's sister. So I call her. I was a little bit more calm at this point. Like I could get words out. Like I didn't feel calm, but like I wasn't like a blubbering idiot anymore. And so I call her and I don't even know what I wanted anybody to do. I just wanted them there. And so she's like, okay, I'll be there soon. So I'm like praying and I'm like, Jesus, this is literally the worst. Like I hate this. And then all of a sudden I have my own voice in my head praying this beautiful spiritual prayer of, Lord, I want everything that I do and everything that I am to be so dependent on you that if you don't show up, it'll completely fall apart. Like not in my own strength, but in your strength. And I just felt the Lord like laugh at me like, ha. Remember when you prayed that? I was like, I take it back. And so I don't take it back. It was a good day. And then long story short, that was like the really dramatic part. After that, my mom called, you know, Mary Beth and Shelley that work in the kitchen on the other side. My mom calls them because I'm a child. So she's like trying to help me out. And so I call, or she calls them, so I like go down there to get them, and then Mary Beth like hugs me, and then Shelly is like overly nice to me and offering me caffeine because that's the only thing that makes me happy. And from there, it all worked out, and Mary Beth is probably the biggest rock star in the world, and I owe her a fruit basket. But it all worked out, so long story short, it was great. But that's where I want you all to be, is crying in a bathroom, hiding from the world if Jesus doesn't show up. Right? You all got really quiet at that point. So, and you're like, Jen, that sounds awful. And yes, it is. But I think that's where we get to see God's glory the most is when you recognize, like, I literally can't do this. And that was just a really silly, stupid story that happened yesterday. So that's why I told it. But I'm sure we all have moments that you're like, if God doesn't come through, it just won't happen. And I think that's what the gifts are. It's God coming through for somebody else. Because the gifts are not for us. They're for other people. The gifts are not for us to puff ourselves up or anything like that, or to compare ourselves. I think we can also do that a lot. We say, well, this person is really good at, you know, whatever it is. Hannah's not here today, but Hannah is like the most compassionate, loving, kind person in the world. And like, she'll just like sit and cry with people. And then somebody will tell me the same thing. And I'm like, well, it's okay. Like, I'm just not, like, built like Hannah. And so Hannah's, like, the really sweet one of the two small group leaders. And I'm like, just suck it up, buttercup, you know? Julie's laughing because it's true. But, so we can't compare, because there's times that, like, I can even be like, well, if I was more like this person, like, I did that all day yesterday. There's this other lady that works in the office with me, her name is Jennifer Hatch, and she is, like, a detailed mastermind, and, like, I'm like, Jennifer Hatch wouldn't have any of these problems if I was just more like her. Like, we tend to do that when we're met with our weakness, is start comparing ourselves, and so that's not what the Holy Spirit is for, and so we're just gonna kind of dive into that. Who has their Bibles? Who actually brings a real Bible? Alex Fox, one and only. Okay, we have a couple. If you don't have a real Bible, you're just a heathen, but you can use your phone. You're not a heathen. I'm kidding. I'm joking. You can use your phone. It's just not as cool. Gotta get the good old. You can't make notes. And everybody's like, oh, you can. It's not the same. It's not the same. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12 today, because that's where they're all listed. Let me open there, too. I'll do it together. Okay. I'm trying to flip through. I'm not really good at multitasking. Sorry, team. So we're going to be 1 Corinthians 12, but I think one thing that I wanted to make clear about the Holy Spirit is that we can use him as like a force, like may the force be with you kind of a thing. He's not just like a tool that we use. He's a person that we're partnering with. So when we operate in the gifts, it's the same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. And so it's just us partnering with him to see the kingdom of God advanced on the earth. And so the way I was thinking about it, everything that the Holy Spirit does, everything, is to give glory and honor to Jesus and the Father. Everything he does is to say, look to Jesus. Like, he is worth it. He is everything. Even when Jesus was on earth and he was walking around, like, he was partnering with Jesus to point to the Father. Like, the Holy Spirit and Jesus, they're one God and they're tight, you know, because they're one, you know what I mean? So, and then everything Jesus does is to point us to the Father. And the Father, I've been, like, wrecked by Genesis 1:26 lately, like, the last couple weeks. Do you know what verse that is? It's when God, I didn't even give you time to answer, so I'm going to answer for you. It's when it says that God created us in his image to rule over the fish of the sea and all of that, to rule. And so, like, we were created already with the approval of the Father, and we're trying so hard to strive for it and to work for it and to have his approval and to be worthy. But he literally created us worthy of it. Like, he didn't just create us in his image in the sense of, you know, like, I have a nose, so maybe God has a nose. Like, I don't know if God has a nose or not, but I do know that he has all authority, all power, and he rules and reigns over everything. And so that, and he gave us that ability. He gave, from like day one, like we're like fresh dirt out of the ground, and he's like, here's the world, you know? Like, that to me just shows that he approves of us and he loves us. So in his gentleness and his kindness and his mercy, he sends us the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit are so important. I think today's age, I think, is probably the most important time in history to have the Holy Spirit. Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, period. And we're drawing closer and closer to that day. I don't know if we're going to be here for that day. I don't know if it's in 100 years, 2,000 years. I don't know, but I do know that Jesus is coming back, and it's becoming more and more urgent that we partner with God and partner with the Holy Spirit in those things. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12, and I really want to ask somebody to read, but I feel like people will get mad at me. Do you guys like to read out loud? Do we like group participation? Yeah, Chris, you want to read it?
Sure.
Okay, here, come up here.
Oh, up there. All right.
I just want to make sure you're with us.
All right, what verse? Where are we going?
You're going to do...
Ah, my pick.
That's important. You're going to do 4 through 11. Can you read that?
Jeez, that is a tiny Bible.
I know, it's really tiny, I'm sorry.
It's gen-sized. Love you, Jen.
Okay, I'll take it, okay.
You're not short, you're fun size. Come on.
Okay.
All right, where is it?
Let's just move along.
Anyway, now we're going to read the Bible. All right.
Just kidding, keep going.
1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gift of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these works are one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll clap for Chris. That was not a very good clap. Thank you, Alex. Okay, he's good. He's sitting down. Okay, so the first verse I want to focus on is, because we already talked about the four through six, where it says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same gifts the same Spirit distributes them. So we all live under one God, one Spirit, and so the gifts are we can't be better or worse than somebody else with the gifts because we have the same person that's giving them to us. So that was the thing that I really felt hard, like big on my heart this morning, was just that we all do it. I do it. We all compare ourselves to who's next to us because it seems like whatever they're doing is better. And so if that's something that you really struggle with, is just not feeling like you're good enough, one, that's such a lie of the enemy. You are good enough. The Lord created you good enough. But then two, I'd invite you to talk to one of the leaders or one of your friends or something afterwards and just pray with you because the Holy Spirit is here. He is with you, and he wants to move and work through you. And I want to pray now because I feel convicted that I didn't. So, okay, Lord, I just thank you for these students, and I thank you that they are here because they have a heart that is going towards you. Holy Spirit, would you just be here with us? Would your Spirit just become very apparent, and would we become more aware of it? God, would you break down just the calluses of our hearts that prevent us from being in your presence and sensing when you are here? And God, that any of these gifts, if they stand out to these students, that they would pray into that they'd be sensitive to what you're saying to them today. And Lord, we just break all the bonds of comparison right now in the name of Jesus. God, they just have no place here. We look to you, and we know that through Jesus that you have made us pure, that you have made us good enough, that God, we are enough for you, and that when we feel like we're not enough for anybody else in this world, that we look to you, and we know that we are made perfect in your eyes. And we love you, Lord, in your name. Amen. So I just pray, like, if today I'm going to go through kind of each of the gifts, just a really quick snapshot into them. So if something stands out to you about them, like write it down or highlight it in your Bible or something like that and pray into it, because I really feel like the Lord wants to tell you what kind of gifts he wants to give you. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have to operate in the other ones. Like, I have ones that I'm more comfortable in and ones that I'm not. And there's been times that the Lord's been like, Jen, I know you don't like this one, but I'm asking you to do it. So it's not an excuse, but I do think that he has given you strengths, he's given you talents, and he wants to show you the gift that you're more naturally flowing. So if one of them stands out to you, study it, read it, really dig into it, and really ask the Lord what he thinks about that. So verse 7 says, now to each one the manifest of the Spirit is given for the common good. So these, again, are not for us. They're for other people. And they're for the church, but they're also for the non-believer. Like words of knowledge and all that stuff we're going to get into. They're really weird, and the people that do them are really weird and awesome. But if you can express Jesus to somebody in that way that doesn't otherwise know him, like through healing and all of those things, like that is such an open door for the Holy Spirit to move in their lives and for them to meet Jesus, which is the ultimate goal. That's the goal, is people meeting Jesus, people, not just what God can do for them, but that God actually wants to get to know them and he wants them to get to know him. So that's just the goal of all of them. So verse 8 says, to one is given through the Spirit is a message of wisdom. This one was like really big to me because I think, again, with today and all the crazy things that are happening, we have to have the Holy Spirit. We have to have his wisdom. Like the Bible has the answers to everything, but there's some situations that just like there's context that like really applied to them then that we kind of have to use as a metaphor and apply to our lives now. There's certain things that like we have circumstances here that necessarily didn't happen back then. So like wisdom, what do you do when Bruce Jenner becomes Caitlyn Jenner right out of the gate? That's an awkward one, right? So we have to have the Holy Spirit in his wisdom. We know what the Bible says about those things, but how, it's like this big question in the church, and social media is just like slammed with it. Like, how do we love them? How do we treat them? How do we do all these things? Like, you can, there's so many interpretations on the Bible, and so you have to, one, read it for yourself and have the wisdom to know what the Lord is saying and how to love and treat those people. The other big one was, what do you do that marijuana is legalized? Like, God made it. I'm really sick of that argument, by the way. Find a different one. Find a better one. But that doesn't, okay, I'm going to get on a tangent on that. I have to slow myself down right now. But what do you do in that situation? Because people come at you with these questions. I mean, FCA, I was with you guys for the substance abuse portion of your, what is it called, Spiritual Emphasis Week, right? And, like, that was a huge question there. And so people are, like, really, you know, it's a gray area that people are really struggling with. Or even at public school, like, I went to AOS, everybody smoked pot. And that's just what you do. So how do you, like, stand your ground in those places? And what, you like, you need wisdom in those moments to know when to go into those situations, to love on those people, and when to step back. Like, you just need wisdom in that. And so that's just a broad sense of we all need the Holy Spirit's wisdom. And I'm sure you guys all have something in your mind that, like, what do you do when? What do you do when your friend's doing this and your friend's doing that? Like, you're looking in the Bible and you're, like, looking in the really obscure books, like, you know, I was going to name a book that's not really a book. I was going to say Hezekiah. That's a person, not a book. But you're looking through, you know, Ezekiel and Jeremiah, and you can't, like, find any of these answers. And so you have to have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to interpret the scriptures, to show you what's in there, and to lead you in that. The other thing is there's certain people that, so that's one way that we can all use it. The other one, there's certain people that just have a really great gift of wisdom. I'm going to use Hannah Held again. She's, like, my best friend in the world, and I love her. And I would embarrass her right now if she was here, so it's fine. But Hannah just always has this wisdom. She's not very quick to speak. In small groups, she's often really quiet, but when she does talk, like, it's just these profound words that come out of her mouth. Like, Hannah has the gift of wisdom. She really listens to the Lord, because people that have the gift of wisdom, like, they're like, I'm not just going to give you whatever pops into my mind, you know? Like, I want to give you a solid answer because I want to point you to Jesus. And find a friend with this gift, because the amount of times that Hannah has, like, been like, Jen, that's a really awful idea, and I don't know what you're thinking right now, has been so valuable to me. And because they're trustworthy, because they're going to point you to Jesus, and those are the friends that you want to surround yourself with. And maybe you are that person, and a lot of times it comes out when people are like, talking about you right now, and people are like, people always come to me, and they listen, and they're like, I just don't know what to do. Like, everybody comes and dumps their problems on me, and I'm like, well, I probably have the gift of wisdom, because you listen to the Lord, you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and you pour out that wisdom, and people love to be around those kinds of people. Like, that's just, they're attractive, they want to be with them, they want to be around them, and so that's kind of one, and that's one example of a gift of wisdom. All of these things we could go into a lot deeper. I'm just going to do, like, a overview of all of them. So the next one is, it's part of verse 8 still, and it says, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. So, like I said earlier, these people are kind of weird. Like, I don't know if you've ever been somewhere. It happened to me yesterday, and they just come up, and they're like, the Lord wants you to know, and they'll, like, just pour out this word onto you, you know? And so, but the thing with this is a lot of times people get, like, scared about, like, receiving a word or something. The words that you give to other people, they are always encouraging. The Bible does not shame people. Jesus, who had infinite knowledge on the earth, like, he was God, he did not shame anybody. So if you feel like you have a word for somebody that looks like it's going to, like, put them down or belittle them or anyway, it's not from the Lord. Like, that's not biblical. So really, like, check your heart. And maybe the Lord is showing you something that you need to pray for, or maybe just always go back to the word. Every word that you ever get for somebody, always go back to the word. My rule of thumb for myself personally that I would encourage you with is if I feel like I have a word for someone, I always try to back it up with a Bible character or a Bible story or like a verse or something to say, you know, I think that the Lord is saying, you know, you're strong like David's mighty men because, and then I use a verse from it. And then that way you just always know you're in the safe zone, that you're not speaking something to them that's, like, completely wrong or weird, you know, completely out, outside of where the Lord wants it. So always back it up with scripture and do your best to do that. And so the next one is to another, faith by the same Spirit. So faith is a part of, well, everything, right? Like, that's how we find salvation and all that. So faith, we all have faith, and we need faith for every single one of the gifts. But there's certain people that just have this insane faith about them. Like, they're like the Peters of, like, I'm not staying in the boat. If Jesus could do it, then I could do it, you know? And they, like, hop out, and then they fall, and they're like, well, I stepped out in faith. Like, nothing is ever wrong with them because they're like, well, if the Lord said it, I believe it. And I think we all, like, really strive to be that person. Like, I really would love to be that person. And I try, like, I try, when the Lord tells me, like, I try to step out in faith. But there's some people, like, they just, like, they never get knocked down. Like, do you know one of those people? They're, like, the overly happy, positive people that are like, the Lord said it, so it will happen. And they have the faith to see these, like, really long-term dreams come into play. Like, 30 years down the road, they're like, and I just knew on this day. You know, like, those people are rad. So surround yourself with people like that. And because they motivate you, like, you want to, you're like, okay, yeah, like, sometimes you just need somebody to, like, rally with you. Those people are awesome for that. And so, because there's been a few times that I've had, like, a dream in my heart that I've had a friend that's been like, well, Jen, if somebody said it, then it, if not somebody, if the Lord said it, then it's going to happen. And so, and if you are one of those people, you're awesome. You are such a champion. You are the encourager of the group. You are, the way that I put it on my notes is, like, they're like the backbone of the body, because when we go into 1 Corinthians 13, we're all part of the body, right? We all have a place. And I think these people are just the ones that they just keep it all straight. They keep it all together. They keep it all, like, just, strong. They're just strong people that they trust in what the Lord said to them, and they're not going to waver. They're not going to break. They're not going to fall. So, those people are awesome. The next one, another to the gifts of healing that by one Spirit. I met this lady yesterday. So I was moving a table, and I dropped this, I dropped it on my foot, and then it didn't really hurt or anything, but I looked down, and my whole shoe and foot was covered in blood. So I was like, oh, that looks weird. So I should probably get that checked out. So I, like, went into the bathroom, and I was like, just, it didn't hurt or anything. It was really weird. So I went in there, and I was like, cleaning it off or whatever, and this lady just comes up to me, and she's like, in the name of Jesus, and just starts, like, proclaiming healing. And I was like, she's like, where does it hurt? And I couldn't, because it didn't hurt at all, I couldn't even tell where the blood was, like, coming from. So I'm like, I don't know. And but she was, like, rebuking everything off of my foot, and it was awesome. And then she, like, proceeded to talk to me for 20 minutes with all the people that she had prayed for healing, and then they got it, and it was awesome. So some people, that's just how they are. This is probably the one that I struggle with the most, to be really honest with you. And I think there's a lot of you here that would probably be in the same boat. Like, you've lost somebody, you've lost a friend, a grandma, a parent, whoever. You've lost somebody because of an illness or a car accident or whatever. Something that you prayed for healing and you didn't see it happen. And so I've prayed for healing for people, and I've seen it. Like, I've done the treasure hunts. I've seen the leg grow out. Like, I've seen all of those things, but this one is still really hard for me. I had a friend that I prayed for him for over a year to get healed of a illness that he had, and he didn't, and he ended up dying. And that was, like, a really hard moment for me. Like, but God, if you told me that if I proclaimed it and I rebuked it and I did all these things, then he would get healed. And as we all know, like, that's not always the case. And sorry. And so if you're in that spot, I can totally identify with you. And I think the conclusion that I've had to come to is no matter what happens with these gifts, like, God is good. And he's for you, and he's on your side. So whether you see the healing or you don't, or whether the prophetic word that you feel like you have comes to pass or it doesn't happen in your lifetime or whatever, like, whatever that is, like, God is good and God is in control. And we don't love God because of what he gives us through the gifts. We love God because he's worth it, because who he is as a person is worth it. And that's who we're falling in love with. We're not falling in love with someone that just gives us good things. So I know that's not, like, this really great answer, you know, about, like, when people don't get healed, it's kind of a sucky one. But I would say in those times, if that's something that you're struggling with, press into the personality and the character and the and just the person of who God is, of who Jesus is, because that's what makes everything else possible. We can't just like worship a God that we don't really know, that's just kind of out there in the distance, and then expect him to do all of these great and amazing things. Like, he wants to be near to us. He wants to be close to us. And so, again, back in Genesis, like, verse 2, it talks about, and the Spirit, God created the heavens and the earth, and then it says, and the Spirit was hovering over the waters. Like, that Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters in an expectant place that he gets to be close to a creation that he can love on, that he can cherish, that he can adore, that he can give all these good things to. That's the same Holy Spirit that's doing all of these gifts. Like, God wants the best for you. So healings can be awesome. I'm sure that we've all heard some really cool testimonies about, you know, this person's, you know, back was really hurting them, and they couldn't walk right, or they were in a wheelchair, and then they got prayed for, and then they could, or somebody had cancer, and then they didn't. Like, we've heard those stories, but they're not super close. I mean, it's happened to you personally, or like your family member, then that's awesome. But a lot of us don't have like that really close testimony. Does that make sense? And so, it's really hard for us to relate to that. So in this gift particularly, I would say just dive into Jesus and who he is, because he does heal, he does have mercy, he does do all of these things, but we don't want to put all of our hope in that. We don't want to put all of our hope in, God, I'll believe in you and I'll trust in you and all these things if you do this. Like, that's not a real relationship. So that's kind of the gift of healing. And then the next one is to another miraculous powers. Have you guys ever like talked about that before in your small groups or anything like that? That one kind of like stumped me a little. Like, I was walking around the office and I was like, Tony, what do you think about this miraculous powers thing? Like, nobody sees water turn into wine anymore, you know? Or I don't have like, I have this Lunchable and it didn't turn into a grand, you know, feast for the masses, you know? It's just, that doesn't always happen in that way, that the way that we see it in the Bible. And Zach actually had a really good example. Like, it's just miracles, just things that you need that God comes through on. And so yesterday was a miracle for me that it all came together, because it all should have crashed and burned. And so for me, I was like, okay, because I was like preparing for today, and I was like, okay, I guess that was a miracle. Like, it was a miracle that I didn't lose it and go home and, you know, hide in my room for another 8 years. Like, it was a miracle that, like, we didn't have enough of anything, and all of a sudden we did. It's just things like that, like just circumstances in life that you're like, God, I need a miracle. I need you to come through on this. God always comes through. He's always faithful, and we're to live our lives, like I said in the beginning, in a way that's completely dependent on him. And so when I was thinking about Jesus and the story of the loaves and fish and all that, like, there was no way possible that would ever work. Like, it's just crazy to think that would ever work. But because Jesus was so in tune with the Holy Spirit, who was talking to the Father, because he was so dependent on him, he was like, well, this is what I have, so Lord, you bless it and you make it happen. Like, so that's what it means to be dependent on the Lord in those miracles. And I think every one of us would have an idea in our mind of something that you just need it to happen. Like, there's just no other option. I don't know what that is for you, but you all have something in your mind. And I think God wants you to know that, like, he is drawing close to you. He is drawing near to you. And again, it's about who he is and not what he does. But in that place of knowing who Jesus is, he always comes through. The more dependent you are on him, he will never fail you. He will absolutely never fail you. It might not come out in the way that you expected it to. That happens a lot. Like, you have this whole pretty scenario with a, you know, pretty little bow on top of it wrapped in your mind. But then the actual situation, you realize it's completely and totally different. That's okay, but God will never fail you. I know you guys hear that a lot, but I really want that to, like, resonate in you. Like, I want you to just have this surefire faith inside of you that God will not fail me, no matter what, no matter what my friends do, no matter what my family does, none of that. Like, God will not fail me. And so, thanks, man. So miraculous powers. I think a lot of times those people are those crazy people with faith. They see big things happen because they expect big things to happen. And so that's probably not the greatest example of miraculous powers, but I'm with you. I'm learning with you. So, and then the next one, to another is prophecy. So this one, it does talk about pointing to the future. Like, sometimes the Lord will plant a dream in your heart that that he wants to give you, and then and you go towards that dream. And then sometimes I think it's as simple as just proclaiming what the Lord has said. So if you want to know what the will of the Lord is, if you want to proclaim the will of the Lord in your life and others around you, well, there's this handy dandy little thing called a Bible that's just full of it. And it's every, oh, see what I did there? It's just full of what God wants. And so I would encourage you to pray the scriptures. And so we've started doing that on Thursday nights at prayer. And I expect every single one of you to be there this week. Yeah, seriously, be there. Julie will be there. So what else do you need? awkward silence, Julie. But I'm going to be leading it, and we're just going to pray through the scriptures. And so maybe find a Bible verse that you really love. And basically all that means is that, you know, you pick up your little Bible here, and you say, you know, you read it. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Okay, that's a Bible verse, so I'm going to pray that back now. And it's just praying it in your own words. Lord, I pray that you would give me a heart for others, that I would not just seek the good for myself, but I would seek the good for everyone around me. Like, I want to have your eyes. I want to be in tune with your spirit. Would you just lead me? Would you give me that heart? Because I think a lot of times when we're doing that, we're trying to, we know God wants to save people, but you're like, I just, you know, Jen, I'm just not much of an evangelist, you know? Like, I'm just not one to, like, share my faith with others. I'd rather just, like, love them and bake them cookies and, you know, like, that kind of stuff. And that's great. We want to love people, but the purpose of everything, team, is to show people Jesus, is to give people Jesus. And so if you want a heart for something, pray it. Say, like, God, I don't care. Like maybe all these people in Thailand, you're like, I have no desire ever to go to Thailand. I went to Thailand in November, and everybody kept asking me, like, Jen, are you so excited? And I was like, yeah, because that's, like, the good thing to say. Really, on the inside, I was like, I've never really cared about going there. Like, it just, now I'm, like, in love with Thailand, and I can't wait to go back because I've prayed for it. And you know, we don't all get a chance to go there, but because of prayer, like, I ended up developing a heart for it. And so, don't use that as an excuse. Just pray about it, and the Lord will give you that heart, and then you'll be a little annoying about it because it'll all of a sudden be like your biggest passion ever. So that can be what prophecy is. It's just praying the will of God and proclaiming it and seeing it happen. Sometimes it can be a word that the Lord's giving you for a dream. That's happened a few times in my life. Like, I really love inner city missions. Like, that's just where my heart is. I love global missions, and it's awesome, but inner city, and specifically, like, teenagers, like, you guys are my favorite people to be around. I just really love that, and so I never knew or thought when it would happen or if it would happen, but a few months ago, I got asked to come on board with the Denver Dream Center, which you guys are going to hear a lot more about soon. Stay tuned. But, and it was just like this dream come true of like, oh my gosh, God, like, one, you gave me the vision for this, like, you gave me the dream, and then you made it happen. Like, we sometimes think that God will give us a dream. I feel like we've all been there. God will give us a dream. And then you're, like, working for it and striving towards it. And you're like, this is all I want in the world. And then you're like, God's not letting it happen. And maybe it's not from him. Like, hold on to those things. Really pray into them. And God is always, always faithful to what he tells us, right? So that's the gift of prophecy in a nutshell. We could go forever on that one. But to another is distinguishing between the spirits. This is another one that I think is just... Are you guys still with me? I'm, like, throwing a lot at you. How are we feeling? That was not convincing. These people back, like, how are you feeling? Okay. Don't want to lose you. So distinguishing between the discernment, basically. This one is so important because I think we would all know this. There's a million ideas floating out there in the world about who Jesus is, what Jesus did, what the right doctrine is. Like, is it this universal, you know, everybody goes to heaven because God loves everyone and grace covers all sins? Or is it God does, his grace doesn't cover all sins, but okay, I'm going to get on another, I'm going to stop my tangents, guys, sorry. So there's that, or there's this like super hard line, like, no, it's about walking in righteousness, and that's how, there's just so many different things, right? You guys all agree, like, no matter who comes up here, or at school, or wherever you go, there's always a different doctrine being thrown at you, and they'll take, like, the thing that always, like, messes me up is I'll be like, well, because Matthew 24 says this, it means this, like, that's how, like, I'll hear teachings on it, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, it's confirmed, and then, like, a week later, I'll go somewhere, and somebody will use the exact same passage to interpret it a completely different way, right? And you're like, now I have no idea. Like, and so it's great to listen to teachers. It's great to listen to people and to listen to sermons and do all of that. But do not make that your source of what you believe about God. The source of what you believe about God has got to be God. Like, it has to be the Holy Spirit showing you those things. And so you need discernment to say, what you're saying is just garbage and I don't believe it because it doesn't line up with the truth. Or what you're saying is good, but what about this part of scripture? Like, I'm not saying that it's like all for your, like, you know, this, what is the word I'm looking for? Like, this, everything is relative. Like, what's good for you is good for you. What's good for me is good for me. Like, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying really search everything out for yourself. Even today with what I'm saying, if you're like, Jen, I think you're crazy and that none of this is true, that's okay. Go back in the word and find examples of how I'm wrong and then come back to me and we'll talk about it. I'm totally okay with that. So everything that is told you, always go back to the scriptures. Always ask the Holy Spirit to give you enlightenment on it, and he always will, because you guys can hear from the Holy Spirit. Like, I think along with that, like, force idea, like the force, we like pray out and we're like, oh, it'll magically happen and good things will come back to me. But I think a lot of times it's, we don't just take a time to sit and listen, because he's a God that's real that actually talks back. So make sure you take the time to sit and to listen and to be with him. The last one is the one I think we talk about the most. Sorry. It's the gift of tongues. And so that one is, people are all over the map. That's, again, where you need the spirit of discernment. Like, you need to have a discerning spirit about what people are telling you about it. Tongues is real. There is a prayer language. And we could spend forever on that, but we just can't. So with that one, really study the scriptures, because people have a million different things. But tongues are basically, they're used for a few different things. One, you hear crazy stories about people going, you know, to pick a country. I'm blanking on the whole world right now. Where? Nepal. Okay, Nepal. So you go to Nepal and you're like, I don't speak Nepalese. Like, I don't know why I'm over here. And then you're like trying to share your faith with this person, and then all of a sudden you're speaking fluent Nepalese. You know, like, all of a sudden, like, that's one of the gifts of tongues. The other one is your personal praying language. And during worship, I'm deciding this right now. During worship, if you want to get prayed for that and to get baptized in the Holy Spirit and all that jazz, we'll have some leaders on the side available to pray with you. If you're like freaked out by it and you don't know about it, you can talk to one of the leaders and they can explain more about it to you. But it's not a scary thing. Praying in tongues is basically just praying the perfect prayer, is how it's explained to me. Like, it's taking your mind, yourself, out of the equation. It's, because a lot of times, like, when I'm, like, really mad about a situation, I'm like, Lord, I am not in a good place right now. So I'll just, like, pray in tongues, and then it just lifts your spirit up. Like, that is a gift that is so for us to be lifted up and edified, because nobody else knows what you're saying. You don't know what you're saying, but it does something in your spirit that just lifts you up. So if you have that gift of tongues, I encourage you, don't be like awkwardly walking through, you know, your hallway, like shouting it. That's weird. But like, I, in high school, like right after I got saved and started and like got baptized in the Spirit, all of that, it was so handy to me. Like, I would just walk through the halls because I didn't know what I was doing in life, and Jesus just wrecked me, and all my friends are still doing other stuff. And I would just, like, whisper it under my breath. Like, nobody knew what I was saying. I wasn't making a big deal out of it, but it just, like, gave me this confidence of, like, the Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is with me, and it just lifted me up. It just made me feel good. And then there's the interpretation of tongues. I'm trying to, like, cruise through here. That one I feel like is pretty, you know, you interpret it. Like, sometimes it's, you know, you'll say something and then you'll be able to tell you what it says. Who went to desperation? Yeah. So, you know, for those of you who weren't there, there's this guy named John Brevere. And so he got up there and he started, so they did this like altar call, and then they were like praying for people. And then he was saying that people were getting baptized in the Spirit, but a lot of them didn't know what was going on.
So he was praying in tongues. So he would like pray in tongues for like a couple seconds, and then he would say something in English. So he would like pray in tongues, and he'd say, "I think someone in here has back pain." Like, that to me was like an example of like he was praying something in the spirit, and then the Lord was giving him what it was, and he was speaking it out, whether he knew it or not. Like, it was just this. It was really cool. It was just he would pray it, and then he would say it in English, and then something would happen with that. So that's one example. Or somebody, like, you could say it. I was in a prayer thing one time. It was the first time I'd ever seen this. And I was praying over this girl, and I was, like, praying really quietly to myself. Like, I didn't think anybody could even hear me praying in my spirit language. And this girl looks over at me, and she's like, "You need to talk louder." And I was like, what? And so she's like, "Do it louder." So I was like, okay, so I'm praying. And then it was over this girl. I had no idea who this girl was. Just ended up in this prayer circle with her. And then this other girl just was like, she had this gift, and it was awesome. And so she started interpreting it and then praying that over the girl that was there. And everything that was said was glorifying to the Lord. Everything was biblical. And it was like a really cool, weird experience. So I haven't had many of those, but it happens, you know? So bottom line is that the Holy Spirit is there to affect everyone around us, that we literally get to just link arms with Jesus. Like, this is, Jesus stands before the Father and intercedes for us day and night, and he sends his Spirit that we can partner with, and the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you, so you have everything that you need, and he wants to use you to affect the earth. Like, how many of us just want to, like, live a really pointless life, that nothing really matters, you just kind of go along? Like, I think there's this God-given thing in all of us that wants to make a difference, that wants to see change. And especially when you give your life to Jesus, like, you want to see his kingdom advance. And the Holy Spirit is our way of doing that. Worship team, you guys can go up. But the ultimate calling, I think, comes down to Matthew 28, and it's, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." That is, like, if you want to know what your calling is in life, like, that's it. Like, it's to baptize people in the love and the grace of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we use the gifts to do that. We use the gifts to love on people. And so your gift may be different than someone else's. But that's what we're going to take this time of worship. Like, really ask the Lord. Like, "Lord, like, the gift of healing really stood out to me. I don't know what that means, but would you show me?" And because God can talk back to you, he wants to reveal those things. I think he really wants to plant some just new ideas about who you are into you today. I think he wants to reveal some of those gifts. And if you want prayer, leaders, I'm just going to ask you to, like, kind of stand up front on the sides. If you want prayer, please, please, please come to one of us. That's why we're here. We absolutely love you. And so if you're not sure about any of it, let us know. Like, we're going to walk through it with you. But I really feel like God's just going to pour out his Spirit today. I think he's really going to show you who you are in a brand new way. And it's going to be exciting, because when we are equipped and empowered with who Jesus says that we are, we're unstoppable. We can't do anything. And that's what the enemy likes to do. He likes to lie to the church and make them confused about who we are. We belong to God. We are sons and daughters, and we are his partners. We are his warriors with him, and he wants to do that through you. You're not too young. You're not too small to do any of this. You are worthy because Jesus made you worthy. And so I'm going to pray, and then everybody will stand, and we'll go into worship. So, Lord, I thank you that you want to be with us. God, that you made a way from us from the beginning, God, even after the fall, that you made a way for us to be with you, to be close to you. Jesus, that's what you desire. And God, I pray for each one of these students in this room, that they would just have, Holy Spirit, that you would empower them with your Spirit to spread the gospel for your name, God, that you would speak the giftings that you want to give them over them today. God, again, we just break off comparison. God, we break off the lie of being unworthy. And Jesus, we say that in our weakness, you are strong, that we get to boast about our weakness because you are our strength. And Holy Spirit, we pray that dangerous prayer, that you would lead us into a place of relationship with you, that we'd be desperate for you, God, that everything would fall apart without you, and God, that the gifts would be a way that we'd completely rely on you. Jesus, you are so worthy and you are so good. Would you speak to us today and And would you move on these students' heart, God? You have very specific people in mind that you want to reach in, you want to touch and to grab hold of their heart. And God, I pray that we would break down the walls, that we'd remove those calluses over our hearts that keep us from sensing you and your spirit. So we love you, Jesus, your beautiful, your name, amen. So we'll stand and get going.
Rise, my soul.